Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. On today's program, we'll be discussing an exciting new anthology called From the Finger Lakes, a prose anthology. It features memoir, fiction, essays, articles, and stories by some of our most celebrated regional writers. It was published by Cuga Lake Books, a local imprint, and my guests are two of the editors of this collection, Jack Hopper and Rhiann Ellis. She was the guest editor. Jack Hopper is a poet and editor and author of several poetry collections, including his most recent Doubles, Poems, 1995 to 2012. He is one of three writers' editors who co-founded Cuga Lake Books, and he is currently the Poet Laureate of Tompkins County. Rhiann Ellis is a writer and editor and the author of a novel called Afterlife, published by Viking. Her stories have appeared in Epic and the anthology New Stories from the South. And welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, I want to begin with you, Jack. Talk about how this anthology came together. What was the original idea, and how did you bring it to fruition?
The original idea actually came from the West Coast, where things are slightly higher. Last spring, I went to breakfast with an old friend who's an agent in San Francisco, Mike Larson. And I was going on about how exciting Ithaca was and a mini Manhattan and its creativity and so forth. He says, if you have so many darn writers in Ithaca, why don't you publish a collection of them, an anthology? You could do it every year and on and on. This guy is an idea machine. He just spins them off. So I'm writing things down in my mind. And I brought it up months later, probably, with our board at Cuga Lake Books. And the reception was good right away. And it's been that way ever since. It's just been full speed ahead.
Yeah, that is a good idea. There are so many writers. Now, what was your original criterion? Because I was kind of curious by the fact that there were some previously published works in it, some original stuff probably written for the anthology. What were your original visions for that?
We wanted to keep it as open as possible, I think. And in fact, we had to say no to plays or poems, or it would have been twice the size that it is, as you can imagine. But we opened it up. We were looking for original ideas, I think, first, naturally.
Yeah.
We allowed people to read things from previously published work, and there's not that much to make a difference. And besides, when they're standing up reading it and when it appears in a new format like this, I think it takes on a newness of its own.
Yeah, and a new audience, too.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Now, I know Cuga Lake Books was founded by three of you, Jack, you, and poet Peter Fortunato and writer Edward Hauer. Mm. And you brought in Rhiann Ellis to be the guest editor for this anthology.
Yeah.
What was the purpose for that?
Well, we wanted something neutral at first, if you pardon, but we wanted somebody besides ourselves, three aging white and European-type men.
Good thought.
and younger. But that wasn't the criterion, but that's what it's grown into. And we're really delighted to have Rhiann.
Okay.
We wanted somebody independent, though, of ourselves to make the final decisions. Edward had a lot to do with the whole thing because he was the other prose writer, whereas Peter and I were more inclined toward poetry. We were still very much involved in the book. But basically, the shoulders that were put to it were Rhiann's and Edward's.
Wow. Okay, well, Rhiann, tell us about it. Were you reluctant at all? And did you jump in this enthusiastically?
Living in Ithaca, one is asked to do a lot of things. But when I got the phone call from Edward, I thought, wow, what a great idea. And I just imagined all the neat stuff and all the fun writers we could include. So I didn't hesitate at all. I was really excited.
And you obviously know a lot of writers in town. Your husband's a writer.
Yeah, we've been here a while. We've been to a lot of parties. We've done a lot of hanging around, and we've met quite a few people.
Yeah.
Not all of them. I mean, these aren't all, people I know. In fact,
There are a lot of writers in this that I had never heard. So this is great to be introduced to some new writers. Well, what did you bring to this, though? Did you and Edward get to discuss equity in regard to males and females? Were you looking for diversity and so on?
Yeah, we definitely were. It was actually much easier than we thought. I remember telling Edward, I really want some more women. He said, well, it's already more women than men. I was like, oh, and I counted, and it was true. I mean, we just sort of naturally came to this rather diverse selection of people. I guess part of what we're looking for is a variety of voices, just different sounds and different subject matter and different ages and different, and it just worked out that way.
Yeah, that's a fascinating collection. Now, in your introduction, Rhiann, you said you talk about how this region attracts and keeps extraordinary writers. To tell us why you think that is, and we'll talk to you about that too, Jack. Why are so many writers and creative people attracted and, in fact, stay here?
There's so many things. It's actually not surprising when you think about it. I know my husband and I were attracted here for many reasons, just because it was beautiful. Also, when we came to visit, we were living out west and we wanted to move further east. And Ithaca was on our short list of places. So we visited and it had this sort of moody noir feel when we were here. And it was like, this, I could imagine living here. This is pretty great. It just has a weird atmosphere. Plus, at the time, it was cheaper to live here than someplace like Manhattan. Well, it's always cheaper than Manhattan, but it was cheaper than most places to live here.
Yeah.
Also, of course, you can't ignore lots of colleges around. We thought, yeah, we could probably afford to live here and maybe even get a little work.
Yeah, so, yeah. An enlightened small community. Yeah. That's what I liked about it. Jack, tell us what, because you're a writer as well. What? Mm. Why do writers come here? Why do they stay here? What do they get from this area?
In my own case, I think the original impetus was that I sold our place down in near New York. And the only person I knew up here really very well was Fred Wilcox, who taught creative writing at the time. He's recently retired at Ithaca College. And there was promise already because he was a very active writer and is still.
Oh, absolutely. He's a friend of our show,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I thought this looks like a good thing. Also, cheaper housing. At the time, mm-hmm. it was much cheaper. Things are changing, mm-hmm. but nonetheless, it's still very attractive in that respect. And I found also a great friendliness. I don't mean to put too much weight on that, but it's really true. Uh-huh. It's much different from in-your-face New Yorkers.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's an openness, too.
Exactly,
it's not even just a friendliness.
Exactly,
it's an acceptance of of people from all walks of life, I have found.
And you get that reaction in this book. I mean, we opened it up as a door, and people came in. It really did.
In your introduction, Rianne, you also say that upstate New York has a problem with a sense of identity, which I found very interesting. That means writers can come here and put whatever they want into
it, right? Exactly. Yeah, I've lived in the South for a while, and I lived out west. I was born out west. I lived in Montana. And all those places had a very strong, we belong here and other people don't. It's just us versus them. But I found in upstate New York, we don't have a strong sense of us. So just pretty much anybody can be us, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Even if I've noticed people who've lived here for generations, they don't have a sense that new people can't come, you know? It's like, hey, you like it here too? Awesome. You know, we all like it here. And I just found that so refreshing.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think this is an atmosphere where writers can open their minds and experiment and do almost anything they want, which is obviously conducive to the writing life.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why you brought in historian Carol Kamen to write the introduction, because her introduction is mainly about the lakes and the landscape.
Yeah.
Tell us about how that happened.
When we thought about maybe putting a little foundation, a little history of the area, she just came to mind. I mean, she's written so much about it, and so charmingly and so accessibly about all different aspects of the history. I mean, I just love reading her work because she just ties everything together and makes it so fascinating. And she's just really an expert in her field.
Yeah.
So she just really came to mind when we thought of
her. Did you have to have a consensus to bring somebody like her on to write the intro?
Not necessarily, no. The consensus had to be in the writing. But we almost let Carol slip by.
Oh.
And somebody said, if she's such a presence anyway, that we could naturally we didn't. And all of a sudden, wait, I'll call her. And she was delighted, you know, and she put forth this thing, which is new. I mean, it's a new piece.
Yeah, and it's
a
beautiful,
so
beautiful
yeah.
introduction. I must say, I was really impressed by it.
And Edward wanted it right away as a preface, which I thought was a little ambitious, but it worked, I think, as a prefatory statement to the whole idea of Ithaca and writers.
Yeah, it is called the preface. Yours is the introduction. Sorry about that. But that's a beautiful preface that Carol Kamen wrote. And you know what it reminded me, too, of why writers want to be here, too, because she talks about the ghosts and the Native Americans and you know, all the history that happened here. And I have always felt the ghosts here.
Yeah.
I've been here for 16 years, and I can feel so much life that's still going on in the beyond.
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, I agree.
You feel that way, too?
I think the place is haunted. I really do. In a good way. In a good way, it's not.
Yeah.
It's slightly spooky, but basically
spirits,
a good way.
Ghosts.
Well, your husband, J. Robert Lennon, certainly sees spookiness
atmosphere. In person, he's not dark at all, but in his writing, you're like, wow, dude, you're awfully dark.
So he sees all these ghosts and he's included in the anthology. Mm-hmm. Now, the book is divided in memoir, fiction, essays, and articles. Tell us what you were looking for from each little genre. Who wants to start? Let's start with memoir.
Well, we kept an open mind. We were going to see what we got and sort of decide what else we needed from that point. So, yeah, we were totally open. We didn't have a strong idea about what we wanted. We wanted things to stand alone, so we were a little, we weren't so sure we wanted novel extracts, but we actually got a couple of those that I think stood really well on their own.
Yeah.
And I think the memoirs are also really fascinating because they sort of span time, which is really neat. There's some memoirs from ages ago and sort of stuff that's really up to date. So,
mm-hmm. Well, was your criterion to make sure that all the people were either from here, live here now, or had a connection here from the past? What was the criterion?
1 foot in the door, I would say, as long as they had some connection to the Finger Lakes.
So even if they had just gone to Cornell but haven't lived here for years,
exactly.
It didn't matter?
I think it boiled down to maybe 4 people who weren't actually living here now.
Yeah.
And the rest, how tenuous, are here nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you probably hope that most people would want to write something new. But how did you solicit the writers? Did you just call people up that you knew and
friends, people yeah. we knew? I think in my case, Peter and I, being the poets of this thing, had less to say about the actual selection. But anybody who knew somebody who wrote prose, please ask them to send something in. And that's how it really began.
Yeah,
and it was thinned out and channeled and so forth.
But there was also a lot of people we just admired. I mean, there's certainly people in here I've never met just because I admired their work and I knew that they had connections. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's a lot of crossover, too. I mean, I know Alice Fulton as a poet, but she's got prose pieces. Right. Diane Ackerman, I think of as a poet, too, but she's also obviously written so many books about the natural world and so
Catherine
on.
Catherine Mahan. Yeah.
Catherine Mahan, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, right. Those are people
Another.
That... Sure. It's fun to see new work by these people when you think of them as one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was a little bit surprised by the previously published stuff. How does that work, though? Do you have to get permissions, or can you only publish stuff in something like this where it's reverted back to the author's ownership? How does that work?
I think there was only one or two pieces that really needed permission. I'm not sure. You would probably know that better than I. But most of the writers hold their own copyright. Most
or it reverts back after.
I think that's true.
So it's pretty easily done.
So you didn't have any problems with...
We didn't. There were a few we had to get permissions for, but for the most part, people did own their own copyright.
Yeah. Did you solicit from anybody and then have to reject the work that they sent in or ask?
Ask
I mean, when you talk about being an editor, that is something that editors do have to do.
Yeah.
Did you have to reject?
Oh, yeah. Well, the way we presented our solicitation was, we're doing this thing, please submit. We made no promises, which was good because we got a lot of stuff and we had to say no to some people, which was very painful, actually. I mean, it would be great if this could have been an infinitely large book, but we had to, keep it reasonable. This is actually much longer than we thought it would be in the end because we got so much good stuff.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Jeff?
This happens in any publishing enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Oh.
One of the nice things about having 4 people, although it was only 2 really involved in the final decisions for the anthology, is it's the other person. I liked it, but the other person didn't. I'm not saying that was the operative thing here, but the option is there. And it did hurt. There are people, there are neighbors or things like that, people you want to get and...
Yeah.
And they're turned down, so.
Yeah.
But it had to be.
Yeah, unfortunately.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Jack Hopper and Rian Ellis. They are the editors of a new anthology called From the Finger Lakes, a prose anthology. And it's from the Cuga Lake Books. It's a local imprint that published this book. Now, your cover artist is the wonderful Mary Shelley. I've had her on my show. I love her folk art. Tell us how you decided to have her do the cover.
I think it was Edward's choice, really.
It was Edward
collects her.
Edward collects her. I've seen some of her stuff,
right.
And it's her stuff is very charming and a little bit lighthearted. I think that's kind of the feeling we wanted for the book. We didn't want to be overly serious, and one of the concerns we had, we didn't want it to look, we didn't want lots of flowers or pastoral scenes of the Finger Lakes because we didn't want it to look like a book of sad. What's the term?
Eulogies or something?
Yeah, eulogies. Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah. No, covers matter. I mean, you know that now that you are publishing books. Because I will not pick up some books if they have some certain things on the covers.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy looking women and weird outfits and flowers. You think, this is going to be,
Women from the neck down. That's one of the things I just really don't like.
But this is a beautiful cover because it's a rower on Cuga Lake and it's woodcuts, which is what Mary Shelley does.
Yeah.
And it really brings out the feel of the book.
I wish we were able to show the three-dimensional quality of it, because that's where it really works.
Mm-hmm.
When I first saw her stuff, flatly, I thought this is kind of primitive art, you know, and I wasn't that crazy about it. But as soon as I saw things that Edward had in his house, for example, and then met the artist at the farmer's market where she has a lot of her stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There it was, and it was, what a difference.
Yeah, and she was an interesting guest, too. She has some really interesting thoughts about art, and she's totally untrained, right? I mean, she even says that in her bio, that she never got training to be an artist. This is all intuitive and just pure talent, if you ask me. So I think that's really interesting. Yeah. Now, let's mention some of the writers in this book, now that we're here. Yeah. I mean, 44 writers. Yeah. Let's talk about, I mean, some are very well known, like Diane Ackerman, Alice Fulton, J. Robert Lennon's very well known. Tell us about some of your favorites and how they ended up in the book.
I could mention one of my favorite pieces, Beth Lorden, who I had read many years ago. I don't remember where, maybe in an anthology, a different anthology somewhere, and I just really loved her work. And then it turns out that she graduated from Cornell.
Wow.
And I didn't know that. I didn't know she had any connection to the area. In fact, I think she's also from here. Maybe I'm, yeah. In any case, she had connections here that I didn't know about. The story,
is it a fiction piece?
It's a fiction piece, and it takes place in upstate New York. And it just the feel of the story reminded me so much of my childhood, and it very visually reminded me of it. So I loved the story from the first time I read it. And then I went back and read it again, and I had forgotten that there's a bear in it. Like, there's a pet bear. It's like, oh, yeah, this is a great story. I mean, it's such an incongruous thing.
I think this is a great way to get to know the Finger Lakes too. Mm-hmm. There's so many voices in this. Jack, tell us one of your favorite pieces or this.
Well, Gene Ender's piece on clouds is local and awfully good. I didn't realize that he was such a writer. You know,
I think of him as a DJ.
That's why,
wasn't
he
a DJ?
For years.
Yeah.
Yes,
he was a DJ, right?
And he did things like once I called him because I needed a poster for a poetry reading. And he complied beautifully, you know. And
suddenly I realized he's a man of many talents.
Big this guy was in his, right. Uh-huh. And people like, Ken McLean from
You know what? Rhiannon and I were talking about that before the show started. That essay by Ken McLean is absolutely stunning.
Yeah. I
agree.
It's touching. It's beautiful. His writing is great. I've
had
him
on. Writer. Yeah. He was good. Yeah.
That was a great
absolutely
piece.
Good.
Yeah, and the personality he expresses in that piece, I think. I know him, but not very well.
Yeah,
and
me too.
It made me like, gosh, I want to hang out with this guy.
Yeah, that was a really touching piece.
Barbara Adams was a natural, too, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Because of her reviews and things like that. But she has that whole creative writing thing from Ithaca College. So she was that was good, that interview that she did. I like that. Fred Wilcox, of course. I know that book very well.
Oh, and I love Fred Wilcox. I had him on to talk about his books.
Present at the creation when that book started. So it was wonderful to hear. I think it's the most lyric and accomplished part of the book.
His writing is great.
Out that phase of his life.
Yeah, I know. Fred's one of my favorites, too. He's been on the show a couple times.
Right.
You know what I like, too, about this? I was talking to you about this before, is discovering the other side of people that I thought of as just one genre of writer.
Yeah.
You know, like the poet is also writing the essay or the fiction.
Right.
It's really interesting to me. Any other standouts?
Yeah, I'm just going through, sort of thinking about how many of these I really love. Glynis Hart, another person I didn't know. I think her name was vaguely familiar, but I didn't know her. And I was just stunned at the beautiful writing in that piece. It takes place at the Willard Center.
Oh, yeah.
And a place I'd always want to know a little more about. And boy, do I love that piece. Yeah.
Yeah.
David Warren's was a good piece, too, I thought.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it.
Tell us a little bit about it.
I don't know much about him at all. I didn't know anything about him until I started reading this piece, and then I heard him. He was one of the readers at one of our book launches, and he was quite. It was a character right off, and I liked him right away.
Yeah. I really pursued that piece actually because I'd read a much longer version on his blog. Actually, in fact, I think I met you, Tish Perlman, and David at the same time about 15 years ago.
Could have been at the bookstore or something,
somewhere like that. Yeah. And I just love that piece, and we had to edit it down a bit, which was, again, unfortunate. I would have loved to put the full 50-page piece in there.
You know what I want to ask you, too? Once you compiled a bunch of, did each one of you take a pile of pieces and say, I want this one, and then you'd come together and read them together and decide together? How did that work? You and Edward had the final say.
Yeah. Edward and I just passed them back and forth, and we discussed them. And it took a while because, as you know, there's 44 pieces. Fortunately, he and I are pretty much on the same wavelength. So I would say most of the time we agreed on things, and that was helpful because I can imagine the battles we would have had if we weren't. But
yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and, no, for the most part, we really did agree on
and,
things.
And who had the sad job of having to call people and say, this isn't going to work for our anthology?
We all did.
Yeah, you all
we
did?
We all did that,
at that
yeah,
point, yeah. Peter and I had nothing to do with the actual selection. We asked people, we invited people to submit, but the rest was these guys.
Yeah.
Edward and Rian.
Yeah, and Edward, he's a real soldier about that sort of thing. So,
yeah, tell me what you learned from this. This was a huge undertaking, mm-hmm. and it, you know, as we were talking about, sore feelings, small town,
yep.
a lot of people, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. so how did you navigate this, and what did you actually learn from this? Was it a great experience?
It was. Sort of in the middle of it, I had when we were thinking, oh gosh, we really can't take everything, I had a little crisis thinking, why did I get into this? I have to say no to these people that I really care about because we can't fit them in. But people were actually really great about it. They're like, yeah, I know, you can't fit everything in. And we're still friends and life goes on and you know, there'll be another opportunity. So that was really reassuring.
Uh-huh. And did you learn a lot of, you know, as writers, as editors, as people trying to publish writing, well, what did you learn from this whole experience?
Well, I've had some experience before.
Yes, you have.
So,
yes, you
so
have.
I'm used to it. I mean, still, uh-huh. you know, you have to reject people and you have to accept people and hope that their skin is thick enough to take it,
yeah.
which I think it was in most cases.
Did this enrich you, though, as a writer, to be
yeah.
able to read all this writing and present it to
oh,
the
yeah,
community?
Oh, yeah, it's always good.
That's what I was wondering.
Actually, it really was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to enumerate all the things that had to be done, the promotional parts of it, setting up readings, the two book launches that we had, and that sort of thing. It took a lot of backstage work to get
yeah.
done.
Yeah,
and I'm glad it's over, you know. But boy, we have something to show for it.
Oh, really, absolutely,
do.
Absolutely.
And we have a template for, not to get launch into that, but for another anthology to come, which we're going to do next year.
Oh, that's great.
Because
there's still so many writers that could be included. Well, what do you want people to take from this? I mean, obviously this is going to be for sale locally, and mm-hmm. you're hoping people will buy it. What do you want people to take from it?
A new voice is here. There's been a lot of publishing around. I think there are, and we all know from Poets and Writers or whatever magazines that we subscribe to, that there's a big market out there, too big almost. But here's something local, and we're doing something. We have 7 authors, 8 titles in our backlist already, and it's only going on 3 years.
Wow.
And now this it's a blockbuster by comparison, and it's really a statement, I think, to the locals from us and you know, and to us too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Rian?
Yeah, I would really like people to fall in love with this place like I do. I mean, that's kind of what
yeah.
that's what I'm thinking, and I think that's what makes me happy about this, because I think I'm actually surprised at how wonderful the stuff is and the variety of stuff and how much it really does. Even the stuff that's not technically about this area, how much it really does come from this area. There's a couple of essays about India, and I think mm-hmm. that just fits into what Ithaca is about, or not just Ithaca, but the whole region,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
about the sort of mix of people
yeah.
that are here.
The diversity
yeah.
in this town.
Ecumenical concern.
And then that's, you know, that's why anybody could pick this up, because
yeah.
it's
yeah.
got something of interest to everybody.
Right.
I mean, I'm not that interested in short fiction,
mm-hmm.
but I would pick it up for the memoir and
mm-hmm.
for the articles,
mm-hmm.
and for the you know, the essays. I like to read essays.
I'm interested too, of course, in the criticism that is filtering back at this point. I've heard some people say, I don't like the standard or the quality of this or that and the other. It reminded me of the other, a couple of nights ago, I went to see Trumbo, the movie that's now playing
about Dalton Trumbo.
Hollywood 10, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, he's working anonymously for this horrible individual who says, some of the scenes that you wrote this last screenplay are very, very good, but others are just not up to it. I want them all the same. And Trumbo says, which you can imagine, he says, if I were a director and every scene I directed was brilliant, it would be the most boring film in the world.
That's right.
And this is not a boring book.
And so
yeah.
that's a good point to make. But
yeah.
you have had criticism, have you as well, Rian, about
actually,
the
no,
choppiness?
I'm a little surprised to hear. I'm a little surprised to hear that. No, because I've only gotten really, really good feedback.
Good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, and when you say highs and lows, that might be partly reflection of my taste in literature, which sometimes is I really like the elevated voice and I really like the sort of sophisticated writing, but I also really like the sort of informal, down-to-earth, not necessarily super articulate necessarily. I love that sort of stuff, too, the stuff that's really close to the bone. So that might be kind of a reflection.
No, my remarks are the subjective versus the theoretical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the subjective always works on the reader. Mm-hmm. You pick up a book of poems, you're going to like this one and dislike that one.
Of course,
or pass it over completely.
Oh, yeah.
That's natural.
Yeah.
And that's what's so fun about an anthology. I really do think you can pick and choose and go, oh, but you don't have to throw the whole book across the room because there's some things way back on page 200 that you're going to love. To tell me about how hard it is to publish nowadays and to market. I mean, this is what you're faced with, having to learn how to market, not just publish. Talk to us about that. I mean, are you learning as you're going along in regard to marketing these?
We are learning as we're going along, and there's a lot that we have to do yet, but it's difficult. It's just it's another aspect of all the activities that we have. We're very fortunate with something this big, be able to get it in a number of places besides the expected Buffalo Street Books. Thank goodness for them. Barnes & Noble is, I think, I don't know if they're going to kick in on this or not, but one can order through them at least.
Oh, that's a good to
and
know.
Several others that have opened up, that new one that used to be down on Court Street, was it, or Buffalo, that's now in the
Ithaca Made.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's three or four different places that are carrying it.
Yeah, I would think gift shops would carry it too for the holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so we can, sell it.
Where do you take it? That is the question, partly. Yeah. And also ads in newspapers to solicit, so people see it and it becomes a presence that they don't forget. So, and then approach them and hope that they respond.
Yeah, I know. That's a challenge, even if you're being published by a big publisher, that you have to do your own marketing. You have to learn to be wearing all these hats. And you have so many faces to this anthology, too. So many people. Well, we are almost out of time. Future readings that we can look forward to? Anything coming up later in December?
Yeah, in May at Lifelong, we're going to have a reading.
So that'll be May 2016? Yeah.
And it'll be open to the public, too.
Okay.
So I'm not sure of the actual date, but
there might be some other things between now and May.
I think so.
Can look. Right. Is there any contact information people can get in touch with anybody about the book or anybody want to share?
I think our website is probably the best centrally thing. It's just cayugalakebooks.com.
Cayugalakebooks.com.
There's even a little button. You don't even have to type anything. You just push
that's
a button and then you get right
anthology.
To the page.
Right.
Oh, that's great.
It goes right to the Amazon site where you can buy it.
Yeah, so you can buy this at the local bookstores. Yeah. You can buy it on Amazon.
Right.
And you can write directly to the publisher,
to
Cayugalake Books.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So that's this is great. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me. This is such a great enterprise, and I hope people will go out and read this book because it tells you so much about our beautiful region, and it tells you so much about the creativity that's going on here. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, gosh,
pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, my guests were Jack Hopper and Rian Ellis. They are the editors of a new collection, a new anthology called From the Finger Lakes, a prose anthology, and it's from Cayugalake Books. Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.